Welcome to the podcast. Today on the Glenn Beck program, we start off talking about Jeffrey Epstein. Lots of new stuff out in that world where new documents have been released, and there's some pretty crazy stuff in there. We also go after the NBA because now they've basically been on board abusing players in China. They won't allow a Free Hong Kong shirt to be made, but they'll allow all sorts of other stuff. We get into more on the hydroxychloroquine debate. Mike Lee joins us on Big Tech. A person who worked for AT&T got fired for opposing, in the most mild terms, Black Lives Matter. Then we also have Dave Rubin on, Dennis Prager. It's a big show today. Make sure to check it out, and you can subscribe right here to this podcast. Rate and review, 5 stars being the appropriate amount of stars. You can also do the same at Stu Does America. That is available as well wherever you're listening to this podcast, and on YouTube as well. Just search for Stu. And don't forget to subscribe to blazetv.com/Glenn.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Let's talk about Bill Clinton here. Doesn't look good for Bill Clinton on this Jeffrey Epstein thing.
Yes, you're right on that. Mm-hmm. I very rarely when someone who's been named and basically confirmed to be trafficking young underage girls all over the world, when you're at this island on the plane multiple times, and you have one of the accusers who's just, I guess, randomly saying that you were there with two young girls from New York. I doubt she'd describe Hillary that way. So I think it's probably not her.
Yeah. Some two young girls from New York. She's this Virginia. Is it Gaffier?
Giuffre, I think.
Giuffre said that. Well, that's the French in you coming out.
And I've also watched 14 Jeffrey Epstein documentaries, so I have heard the name pronounced.
You know, I watched the first one. It's so disturbing and so dark. It is so disturbing and dark.
You know, still, it's funny because I've heard listened to podcasts about it, and you know, the Netflix one was, I think, the one you're referring to. There's been a bunch of them. It really, one of the best things, if you actually really want to read about how twisted this guy was and all the stuff he tried to pull off, is that initial Miami Herald story about it. It's probably the best one still. There is so much detail about all the stuff that this guy tried to do. And I don't mean as far as like, you know, sexual detail, which is obviously disgusting, but just like the balls of this guy to say, I'm going to continually recruit high school girls from the surrounding communities that were just like, I mean, you know, there is a known thing about high school girls that they tend to talk and gossip a lot, right? Like, that's like every movie that you've ever seen about high school is. And you're expecting to basically bring in dozens and dozens and dozens of these girls and expect no one to talk. The only explanation can be that he was so confident that he would never get in trouble for this because of all of this other stuff he had going on, that he just didn't care.
Plus, he didn't think there was anything wrong with it.
Yeah, he was definitely a defender of the overall philosophy.
He thought it was fine.
He did.
He talked about the fact that, well, in the 1800s, this was very common.
Yeah.
That you would be
with a
younger
girl. Yeah, well, it's not the 1800s anymore.
Right.
So is slavery, Jeffrey. So is slavery.
Yeah. And that relates to the story relatively well, unfortunately.
It does.
It really does.
It does. It does. So the other one that is, he's been on the show. He has denied it several times. He is very outspoken on it. Is Professor what's his face?
Dershowitz.
Dershowitz.
On the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dershowitz. He's been on the show a couple of times to answer this, and he is very, very clear. I had nothing to do with this.
Oh, he's adamant.
I was never involved. Yeah. Oh, he's adamant. And it's not looking good for him either. I mean, it's not looking as bad as it does for Bill Clinton. You know, if you have Dershowitz, you have Clinton. Even if Dershowitz is not involved, let's just say he's your lawyer. You have Alan Dershowitz as your lawyer. You have Bill Clinton, who you've got the goods on. I mean, he's going to help defend you. I mean, he also helps, you know, hurt you and your credibility on this. But you've got him. You have other powerful people involved. The FBI. These are all what was released yesterday were all notes from the FBI. The FBI knew all of this stuff. They knew all of this then. Why wouldn't you think you're going to get away with it?
I mean, it's just you're involving, you know, there's think of the Elliot Spitzer thing, right? Remember Elliot Spitzer with all of his shenanigans back in the day? He went to high-priced call girls, right, whose business is to keep this type of arrangement secret, right? And he was very powerful, but he went down a road well-traveled for this type of activity. The idea that you could just go to random women, girls who live in trailer parks and just essentially abduct them for a couple of hours and then release them back to their high schools so they can recruit more of their friends is something so much different, right? Like it's so over the line and crazy that he would think he would get away with it, and he did.
Well,
for
a long
so
time,
long time, amazing,
yeah.
Which leads one to believe that he had some sort of connection. He was either working for the intelligence community or he had the goods on so many people that he just thought, if I go down, we all go down. And I think that's reasonable. I think that's reasonable for him to think that.
It does seem more and more as you look at these details is that was certainly at least his belief. I mean, it does seem, I mean, even in the documents, Giuffre says, everyone owes me favors. That's the way he talks about, well, how can these people be here? Well, everyone owes me favors. We don't know, I mean, exactly what they were. She doesn't know either. She wasn't told, which she would only be told in like some sort of spy movie where the villain gives away his entire plot right before he, like, right, why would he right. tell the 16-year-old?
And let me tell, I'm going to tell the 16-year-old this too. Whatever happens, do not let him cut the white wire because the white wire stops the bomb.
Right.
All right, I got to go.
I mean, that would only happen.
I'm leaving this to you, you 12-year-old girl. I'm leaving this to you. I'm flying away for some unexplained reason right now.
This is, I think, though, why there's so much resonance in the idea that he did not kill himself, right? It's just...
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah, yeah.
so... There's so many layers to this, and the behavior was so brazen. Mm-hmm. And the fact that he thought he could get away with it, or at least, and did for so long, and then even after getting caught, he was shielded by person after person after person. The arrangement where his... You know, he goes to this little cushy sort of prison, quote unquote, where he had his own wing and he gets to leave prison whenever he wants or every single day and go to his office to work. Like, this is not prison. He goes
Hang
through
on,
that.
Just a second. Yeah. Wait, when did prison start to have wings? Right. I mean, he understood cell blocks, but he's got his own wing. Yeah. It's prison. When did they suddenly get fancy?
They got fancy and he was spending money to make it fancy inside the prison, buying things, making the interior nice. But he would go to his office every single day.
A lot of the stuff he bought was from Wayfair too, which is weird.
Giant cabinets, really expensive.
Yeah, $84,000 cabinets, just really
strange purchases.
Name Cindy.
but then the agreement that he signs not only says that, okay, he's been convicted of this is his punishment. Also, by the way, no one in the country can ever go after anyone who might be a co-conspirator of his. What the hell kind of arrangement is that? I've never heard of anything like that in my life. How can you possibly... What if you find out later on that someone else was the head of this whole operation that was a much bigger, figure?
The only reason... You're so naive. The only reason why you haven't heard of this any time in your life is because you've never lived in Russia. This is exactly the kind of stuff that would happen in Bogota or Russia. That's the way it works.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I don't know what kind of pressure she has received. It may just be from her defense attorney now, because she did hire a defense attorney. She hired Lynn, what's his face, the guy who got all of the justice for the Covington kids, Nick Sandman. He is now representing her. She hired him about 2 days ago, but she got home last night after being on the air here and elsewhere, and she has been terminated from her job in the emergency room. She is an emergency room doctor. She is also a lawyer. She is a very brave woman who... I want to give credit where credit is due. She was terrified to come out, and she talked to a dear friend of mine and his wife, Mark Levin, and his wife, and he and Julie talked her into standing up. They kept pointing out, you know, look at what's going on, and then she finally saw it, and, I mean, she had seen it, you know, all the way through. She knew that it was wrong, but she saw this isn't going to end well for medicine. This isn't going to end well for patients when your doctors are afraid to say anything. And that was her warning yesterday and the night before on my Wednesday night special. You need to watch that special. Those Wednesday night specials, even if you, God forbid, I hate to say this, even if you exchange this radio program for one episode a week, those episodes right now are the most important things I think we do. And it's the only place you're getting the full story. When you watch them episode after episode, they build on each other. And it is the exposing of what is really going on in this country. And you need to watch it. The special this week was with this doctor. She did the last half of the special with me. You can watch that. It's on demand now. We don't dare put it up anywhere, or it'll be another strike against us, and they will. They've already so damaged our business in with Twitter and Facebook and YouTube. You know, just always banning us for one reason or another. Many times, in fact, I think every time we fight it and we win, but the damage is already done. So we're just not playing that game anymore. Blaze TV is asking you now to become a subscriber. I'm asking you to become a subscriber. If you use the promo code Beck, you'll get $20 off the promo code. If you use the promo code, I'm sorry, this time of Unmasked. Subscribe now this week. It'll probably be over this week, so you can get that 20% discount on your year-long subscription at blazetv.com. We need you now more than ever. By the way, talk to Greg Gutfeld from Fox News last night. It was a fascinating conversation, really fun and funny. He's really funny. And we talked about everything. That is coming out for Blaze subscribers as soon as this radio show is over today. And then at 3 p.m., you'll be able to find it on YouTube. That's 3 p.m. tomorrow, Eastern time. And you'll be able to find it on YouTube or wherever you get our podcast. But Blaze subscribers will be able to watch it as of noon Eastern time today. Please join us. Now, I want to continue our conversation about Simone Gold. Here is this doctor. She graduated from the Chicago Medical School. She attended Stanford University Law School. She has her Juris Doctorate degree. She completed her residency for emergency medicine at Stony Brook University Hospital in New York. She's worked for the Surgeon General in Washington, D.C. She is volunteering her time. She works at a hospital. She is, I mean, I don't know how this woman does it. She's extraordinarily bright. I don't agree with everything that she says, because I don't know everything she says. But she has a right as a doctor to speak out. And may I go a step further? You know, we were talking about the doctor that was also a part of her group that has been pilloried in the media. her name is Dr. Stella Emanuel. And when I first heard the story, we talked about it on air, and I don't know why she was allowed to speak, just because of PR. However, what a ridiculous thing for me to say. That is a horrible thing for me to say. Do you remember when Donald Trump was branded a racist for saying that some places were asshole countries? Well, you know what? That doesn't make him Hitler. That makes him a plain-spoken guy. Because, quite frankly, a lot of these places are crap holes. Have you been to some of these countries? They're awful. And it's because of corruption and because of government being completely out of control and nothing you can trust. Exactly what's making this country a crap hole. Oh my gosh, when he said that, he's a racist. He's Hitler. You can't say that. You have to use the word third world. That, I guess, makes everything okay. And don't say black. Say African-American. Don't say Latino or Latina. It's Latinx. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. We're turning into the crap hole. Now, imagine if he would have continued on and he would have said it's a crap hole and then ridiculed their religions from those countries. Can you imagine the fallout? And yes, there would have been fallout. Even though it is religion, it would have been fallout because it's Donald Trump. The same people engaging in the collective freakout over the words of asshole countries are all up in arms now that these doctors are speaking out in defense of hydroxychloroquine. Jeez, whoa, crimes against humanity. She supports hydroxychloroquine, and now she also supports Donald Trump. I don't even know if she does. I assume she does. So the Dr. Stella Emanuel, she tweeted a video and she talked about the experiences with the drug on the front lines of coronaviruses. And then the journalist went into overdrive to destroy her reputation because she has another unforgivable sin. She believes things that I don't believe in. She's a pastor. And they dug up videos of her sermons. Well, pretty soon the words demon sperm, which she never said, were being used to prove this woman is crazy. Now, don't forget, she didn't actually say that. But her religious views do include the idea that demons have a role in health. Now, she said that from a pulpit. To be specific, she said having sex with demons in dreams causes certain ailments. Does that sound weird? Yep. Do I believe that? Nope. Is that something that was part of her culture growing up and training in Africa? Yes. Yes, it was. But do you see what they're doing? How can this doctor who is black, she got her medical degree in Africa, she has different religious views, can she be trusted? She trusts hydroxychloroquine. They're saying she comes from an asshole country with an asshole culture and asshole religious beliefs. They're saying that a black female immigrant can't possibly know anything about science because her religion is crazy. Well, let me just say this. Having demon dreams and having sex with demons in your sleep. Okay, yeah, that's weird. That's weird. But so is a guy was nailed to a cross. He died, was resurrected. He lives today everywhere but nowhere. Hello? Pick any random Christian doctor. Are they unqualified if they believe in the healing power of prayer now? Would a Muslim doctor be unfit for duty because he believes in jinns? Let me ask you this. How about the Cuomo family? The doctor believes in star power and energy healing. I don't believe in that. But should this doctor be able to say it? Should this doctor be able to keep their license? Yes. The Cuomos actually pick their vacation spots based on their energy. One spot in Mexico that they frequent is picked due to its high vibrational qualities. Now, you can make the case that Cuomo's doctor is worse than Stella Emanuel because Stella Emanuel, we don't know, we don't think, is using any of the demon seed stuff in her practice. She's using medicine. Cuomo's doctor is using the healing power of star power. So you got that. And I don't mean star power like Hollywood. I mean like the gift of the stars. And you know what? She has a right to say it. And he has a right to believe it and go do it. I seriously want to know how far you're willing to let this go, America. There is an implication here that a doctor cannot believe in science and religion. Forget about her religious and doctrinal beliefs. We all disagree on doctrine in some form or another. Take it from a Mormon. Everybody disagrees with us. To all the people that are attacking Dr. Emanuel right now, take 2 seconds from the smear campaign and tell us when, at any time, her religion got in the way of science. Her science acumen apparently good enough to enable her to rise above her male competitors and succeed where they couldn't. And I'm not talking about a place where things are equal like here in America. She did it in Africa, where the deck is stacked against women. Her science savvy, again, good enough to become certified as a medical doctor, not only there, but then go through training and school here in America and become a medical doctor, a licensed doctor. Has she said crazy things that I don't agree with? You bet she has. Wow. But imagine going to a place that has never heard about Christ and telling them about the sacrament of communion, the Catholic sacrament of actually drinking the blood and body. Gee, that sounds like cannibalism. Should we ban all Catholics from being doctors? You don't have to agree with Dr. Emanuel's religion. In fact, it's exactly why people trekked across the Atlantic to form this nation. It had nothing to do with slavery. In many ways, it had everything to do to escape from slavery. Does her religion interfere with her science? Does it affect how she treats her patients? You know, like Cuomo's doctor. I haven't seen a single hit piece in the media addressing this, probably because they don't have much to go on. You know, all they've got is a black female doctor, an immigrant from Africa with different religious views, a doctor that supports Donald Trump, has found positive results with a drug that they seriously don't want to be successful for some reason or another. And I believe it goes way beyond just Donald Trump. This is insanity. Who do you think knows more about anti-malarial drugs? Cuomo's doctor or a woman from Africa or little nerdy journalists who are digging up opposition research from the safety of their own home? These are the same people that are telling us now that men can menstruate. They can tell you babies are only human beings after birth. Wow. Wow, I've never seen a baby pop out and reveal itself as a doorknob or a desk lamp, but that's probably just me. These are the scientific experts. They cannot be trusted. Why don't they just say what they really mean? They hate Donald Trump. They hate Donald Trump. They hate Donald Trump. They hate anybody who likes Donald Trump. They hate the Constitution. They hate America. They're doing everything they can in their power to destroy it and grab power from themselves for themselves. Oh, and this woman comes from an asshole country with an asshole culture and an asshole religion. They're the party of compassion. Well, it's finally out in the open. Enough is enough. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. Mike, I got an email from you last night that said, okay, tech is got to be stopped on what they're doing. Tell me what's going on and what you discovered and what's gotten you to really move hard against tech.
Look, we've got a few tech platforms that are in control of most information that most Americans have access to every single day. Now, look, I believe in the right of any company to do what it wants to do. Companies are not arms of the state. They're not arms of the federal government. But at some point, when they engage in such heavy-handed censorship, that can become a sign of exactly the sort of degraded quality that one can expect uniquely of a monopolist.
In any so, other and business, monopolies, Mike, seen. Hang on just a second. I think you pointed out in your letter that they are acting like a monopoly because they're all working in tandem. Whether they're calling right. each other or not, they all believe the same thing. So they're all banning all of this speech.
Right. Banning it simultaneously. Now, yes. I don't know by what arrangement or whether that's just sheer coincidence that they all ban the same stuff at the same time. But this is crazy, and it's crazy just in and of itself when you look at the fact that they're treating their customers this way. Many of their customers want to be able to gain access to information, even information that they themselves, the customers, disagree with. In any other business, yep. you'd never dream of treating your customers the way that these guys have treated those simply because of views that they disagree with. And I think that warrants some scrutiny.
Okay, so Mike, you're not talking about regulating them. If we regulate these guys, it's going to work to our disadvantage. So you're not talking about regulation, right? You're talking about removing some of the protections?
The worst thing we could do for the American consumer is create a new federal bureaucracy to regulate
Thank
them.
You.
In fact, that would only entrench them further in their market
yes.
power. But we do need to look into what can be done. We do need to look into what privileges they have under the law, and we need to look into why they're doing this. I'm starting right now, and I started yesterday by sending them a letter asking them a series of questions about how they make these decisions, in consultation with whom, and what they take into account.
You had in a hearing in the House, 2 days ago, an extraordinary exchange where Jordan is producing documents. And Mike, I can tell you, if President Trump loses this election, mark my words, my voice, Sean Hannity, all of the radio voices, all of our internet platforms, Dave Rubin, all of them, we are all in trouble. I don't think we last 12 months under a Marxist kind of platform where the government just turns a blind eye. They will deperson us. And I'm telling you that's coming, Mike. Can we move fast enough on this and still do it right?
First of all, that won't happen, Glenn. That won't happen as long as you stop being an enemy of the state. You just get with the program, everything will be just fine.
I know.
But yeah. Yeah. Look, there's time. There's still time for us to make sure that this country makes an informed decision this fall. It's unusual when a majority of the people in this country choose the wrong thing. I expect this time will not be an exception.
So, Mike, let me ask you one more question. You know who Dr. Robert Epstein is, right? From Harvard,
yes.
MIT.
Yes.
And he's been studying the election. I get an impassioned plea from him all the time. Please, Glenn, this election is going to be stolen. It's not going. The big tech is going to work all of their tricks. He needs $50 million to be able to monitor it nationwide and to have it dead to rights. Is there anybody that you know of or anybody in the Senate that can? $50 million is nothing to protect our election.
Yeah, so I've got some rich colleagues in the Senate. Maybe we'll pass the plate around there. Insofar as you're talking about money authorized by Congress, I doubt you'll get that. I can't imagine anything like that passing through the
Mike,
House of Representatives.
We just need some big voices that will step up with some deep pockets. We can talk about this off the air. Mike, I commend you for what you're doing. Please guard against regulation as it won't work out well. But thank you for being on this case. We really appreciate it.